Blog Talk Radio.
Land Rover, rolling over, blowing petrol, you blow my mind. Travel dust roads, not to city, to and fro, them they rob on the mind. Time and time and again, yeah, time and time and the way, time and time and again, yeah. Time and time and again, yeah. Time and time and the way. Time and time and again, yeah. We are wide awake. We are wide awake. We are wide awake. And nobody leaves us behind.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, I would love to hear from you. Send me an email. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. This is the second half of the show. I just got off the phone with singer, blues and jazz singer, Castle Russell. I'll be giving away some of her CDs, so you want to follow me on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook to learn how to win. Again, at Joy Keys. You can check out Catherine's website, CatherineRussell.net. Awesome, beautiful voice, just very natural, smooth. Her latest album is Strictly Romancing. But right now I'm going to be speaking with a Canadian Ghanaian singer. His name is Kay Sun. This is his second album. His first album was called Lion on a Leash, and that was released in October 2009. But this recent album is called Outside the Barcode. And actually, he is allowing you to download this. There's an EP, a couple songs, for free. You can go to his website, ksunmusic.com, and get this for free. Yes, I said that, F-R-E-E, free. So amazing, a blessing. I believe this is him on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, we're live on the air. Thank you so much for calling in.
No problem at all.
So you're up in Canada. It's cold up there, or where are you now? You're in Canada, yes?
Well, I am. I'm in Toronto right now, and it's all right. The weather's been funny lately, so it's not too cold, which is a good thing.
Now, when you say not too cold, what do you mean temperature? Because, you know, I'm down here on the east coast of Philadelphia with, like, 75-degree weather. What's not too cold up there?
Well, it's probably very similar. It's Celsius here, so maybe around, like, I don't know, 10 or a little lower than that. Yeah, it's not too different.
Yeah, so you're not wearing boots and hats and gloves, yeah?
What's that?
I said you're not wearing boots and hats and gloves, right?
No, not this year. Not at all.
Well, let's start off with your beginnings here. You were born in Ghana, and then you came over here as a youngster. What's your first memory of coming over to this side of the globe, to Canada? What's one of your first memories you have?
Well, it's funny you talk about wearing boots and gloves, because I moved to Canada when I in January. When I first arrived, it was winter, and it was a lot of snow.
Oh, my God.
And it was cold. Yeah, you can imagine, you know, coming from the tropical paradise, which is Accra, Ghana, West Africa, and just arriving here and with all this snow. So that's my first memory, just getting off the plane, and getting out the airport, and, you know, stepping out into a blizzard. So,
I mean, did anybody warn you? Because, look, man, it's going to be cold here. I mean,
I don't think any amount of warning can prepare you for something like that. It's real.
Yeah.
It's crazy, yeah.
It was good if you enjoyed the change of weather.
Exactly, and I wanted to leave home. I wanted to get out. I wanted to see the world, so... It was a price worth paying, I think.
So where did this bug come to be a musician? What prompted you to start playing the guitar and singing?
Well, I was doing a bit of that in Ghana during my school days. My brother actually taught me to play a little bit. He taught me a few chords, and I used to, you know, try to You know how when you were young, you try to mimic your favorite musicians and you learn all your songs and, you know, you try performances at school. So I did all of that. And, I mean, I had always heard melodies in my head and I always gravitated towards music from when I was really, really young. So, I mean, the thing that what really changed for me coming here is that I realized that people actually, you know, performed and try to pursue that for a living. You know, it's not something I saw too much of in Ghana. So if anything, being here sort of gave me the idea that I could do more of what I loved, you know? So, yeah.
Let me play, I'm going to play the Lion on the Leash. This is from your first album, just to kind of show people where you came from, the different sounds you have, okay?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Wait till we dead before they honor us. I guess they tried to put some fear in us. Can't keep a king in a cell. Can't hold a lion on a leash. Brave, brave hearted people. Speaking all they see this evil. Speak by some not treated equal. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's. And wise, the strong go stronger. Declare righteousness over yonder. Don't let them move your mind. Cause they can't hold a lion on a leash.
Wow. I mean, you're so young. I mean, you are really putting out some powerful lyrics. I mean, you're very, you know, you're like a revolutionary. I mean, the phrase, lion on the leash, so you're like a fighter. You're using your music to fight for freedom, do you believe, for people around the globe, for different injustice?
Well, first of all, thank you for the compliment. I don't think I'm doing that intentionally or specifically. I think what I write about is inspired by a certain kind of mood and sort of the kinds of things that I take in. So I'm just distilling the information that I take in around me, and I pay attention to, you know, a lot of things that I guess may seem political, but because of how I was raised and where I was raised, I don't have a choice but to pay attention to it. I mean, I grew up in Accra. I grew up in Ghana where, you know, it's a very communal and a very political society. Political in the sense that because people are so close, and because we live so communally, we concern ourselves with each other and therefore concern ourselves with politics, you know. So I think that's a sentiment that I have not totally done away with in my music, because I know some musicians sort of put that aside and try to focus on just being entertainers. And that's all well and good for them, but for me, I feel like the way I wanted to make music or the things I wanted to write about, I didn't want them to be too separate from the kinds of conversations that I'll have with my friends or my family, you know? So maybe why those things come out in the music. Yeah.
Let me just talk a little bit about Ghana. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Say that again? Sorry.
No, I was going to just tell the audience a little bit about Ghana. Some people may not be familiar with the history. I mean, they just got independence from the United Kingdom in 1957. I say just, but in a sense, you know, historically it's still very close, and there's still a lot of remnants of colonialism going on in Ghana and all parts of Africa. Also to let the people know that Ghana means warrior king. So the people, you know, are fighting for their freedom always, and that name was chosen to represent that fight, that energy.
Yeah.
Do your parents support you in this? Were they surprised when you decided to be an artist because you're not a doctor or a scientist? And you didn't go to school for that. You went to school for, like, multimedia or something. Talk to the audience about that a little bit.
Yeah, I did. Well, you know quite a bit about Ghana, and I shouldn't be impressed because I'm impressed because a lot of people don't do the research, and it's just amazing how much you know about it. And
I can't have you want to not know anything about you. That's not how I roll, man.
Yeah,
I gotta know a little something, you know, about the people, because that's what influences your music. You gotta look at the person from the micro, so like their home life, and you gotta take out the macro, which is their environment, and that's what influences your music, is the macro things that are happening,
yeah.
you know, around
yeah.
you, you know?
Yeah, it's just refreshing, you know, because a lot of people don't do that. I don't know why
yeah.
they don't go into that, but to answer your question, I guess my parents were a bit cautious. They were supportive but cautious, and you know, it goes back to my upbringing and sort of our culture where, you know, parents want their children to do very specific things. I mean, that is changing a little bit now. And I think parents are more accepting of children pursuing the arts. So, I mean, yeah, now it's all good. And I'm kind of glad I did, because I think it's important for Ghana specifically, in order for the country to move forward culturally, the younger people need to explore the creative arts and find ways to bring that back and ways to move things forward. And I think it's important that a lot of parents now are being supportive of that, and it's a good change.
Yeah, I think arts is a great peaceful way to express resistance. You know, you have the reggae
yeah.
sound, you have the Afro jazz sound in your music, and you know, Fela, Bob Marley, you know, they use their music to really push the boundaries and question, you know, like, what is going on here, and
yeah.
why are we here and you're over there, you know. Let me play Too Young, Too Soon from Lion on the Leash. If anybody's listening, which I know you guys are, we're close to 90,000 downloads of the show, you can call in 646-929-0368. I appreciate your support. I'm speaking with singer Kay Sun. I'm about to play Too Young, Too Soon from his first album, Lion on the Leash.
Bloodshot eyes and untold despair. Hands that never learn to reach for what not to stay fair enough. They barely hold in on. Now they say, keep running, keep jumping. Keep ducking, keep dodging. Victims of child play, never laying no coffin. Live on, grow or be bold, or be stronger. But these brothers of mine, you just had too much to lose. Too young, too soon. Too much to lose. They say the world is watching.
So, wow. Talk to me about this song. What was your inspiration for this? Is this like talking about child soldiers? Is this just talking about children in poverty? What was going through your head when you were dealing with the song?
That one is that's an older one, and it was about that. A bit about child soldiers, definitely. And I think at the time I had just read something about it, because it's not my experience, and it's definitely not a Ghanaian experience. So I had read something about it, and it inspired the song. That's as much as I can say about that one.
So I found out that you're going to be playing with K-9 June 8th in Toronto. Is this what's up?
What's happening? Yeah. It is actually. There's a festival, an arts festival in Toronto.
Yeah.
A big one, and yeah, I'm going to be playing with K-9. Yeah.
So, wow, are you excited? Are you probably sound all calm, cool, like, you know, it's nothing, man. I'm playing with K-9, you know.
he's amazing.
I got it like that, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm a fan of his. And I'm excited. I'm more excited for just the audience. I'm always more excited about the audience than I am about whoever else is on the bill. I am excited that it's him, but I must say I'm more excited about the audience.
Yeah, it's cool.
What can I say?
That's all right. So now, outside the barcode, let me just mention your website is ksunmusic.com. It's K-A-E-S-U-N music.com. You're also on Twitter, @ksun on Twitter, K-A-E-S-U-N. Talk to me about this free. I mean, you're giving this music away for free. Why did you decide to do that? I mean, are you making money? How are you making your money? Is it from the first album, touring? What was the decision to give away this couple songs or five songs on it for free.
Well, I think everyone's giving away music now, and it's because, you know, it's so easy to get it, you know, it's so easy mm-hmm. to find it, and people don't buy something unless they really, really feel it's worth their money, which is a good thing. The reason why that one was free is because of the types of songs they were and the time in which they were written. I didn't want to go through that process of sort of having a marketing plan and just pushing myself and, you know, always repeatedly having the message be, hey, buy my record, hey, buy my record. I think for me, I'm getting tired of that. And even with anything else I do from now on, it's not necessarily going to be given away for free, but I don't want to be pushing that message of buy my record, because that's not my key message. I mean, I'm not saying I don't like money or I don't want to make money from the music I make, which is not true, because it's, you know, in order to do this full time, you need to make a living off of it. But
yeah,
what I'm saying
we gotta buy toilet paper, Kason. We gotta buy toothpaste.
Yeah, yeah, we're.
I need some soap. You know, baby need a new pair of shoes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's just that I think it's a bit deceptive for that to be the main message. Like to go on all your whatever social media sites and keep plugging your record is, to me, it's a bit misleading, you know. What I'm doing, I believe the words and the content of what I'm doing is more important than how much money I make from it. And I also believe that, you know, the live show is an experience in itself, and people come to that and people love that. So, you know, I'm not putting that pressure on myself to sell records, you know. I think that's the old way of thinking anyway, you know.
Well, let me play some Firefly Dance. This is from the new album, Outside the Barcode. If you're just listening, this is
Singer Kason. You and Steph, you on time, giant to sleep and soon wake up. I know it's buried in your nature. It's the realistic way to keep me shifting like some shapes. I know that you have not changed, no way. So draw your lines in the sand, jar it could get driving straight. Over here we are related. It's just a myth that you created to keep my people separated. I know that you have not changed, no way. And I'll find my way over, far, far away over. Far, far away over, far, far away.
I love the last part of that. I mean, I like the beginning and everything, and, you know, I didn't even play the first intro of that song, but the just the end is I feel like maybe I'm on the boat in the middle of the lake, it's nice weather, or I'm writing in my journal. I mean, it's just a lot of visions with that tone. Do you play any other instruments? Do you play any other instruments?
Well, I dabble in, like, bass, keyboards and stuff, but no, I don't really know what I'm doing on them.
Yeah. What about the drums? Because in your Burden of Love, you have a new video out, Burden of Love, that's also on this EP. You go into the music shop. Do you play drums at all?
Well, my first instrument actually was a drum when I was really young, but I never studied it. And I mean, in Ghana, they're so easy to find, and everyone kind of plays the drums, so. Kind of, I guess.
Now, don't go around and say everybody from Ghana plays the drums, because, you know, then you might get in trouble.
you're
pushing a stereotype now.
Correct.
Yeah,
well,
you're pushing the stereotype.
I'm not trying to stereotype.
I couldn't say that. If I said that, people are like, oh, my God, they jump on me.
I know, isn't that strange? You know, I have a problem with that, a little bit. You know, I think it just prevents people from being honest, and everyone makes kind of general statements every now and then. It's, you know, you can't be specific all the time, you know. Because it's almost like saying people are not smart enough to know exactly what you mean. I don't mean everyone plays the drums, but, you know, it's a common instrument.
So now what do you see coming from Outside the Barcode? You're giving away these songs, and you're going to be touring. Where are you going to be playing in June? Where are you going to be playing next?
Well, I have a show coming up in Toronto next week, next Wednesday. So that's the next show.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a few things, mostly in Canada. I'm going to Accra, too, for another show in May. So just.
And what do you hope to accomplish with this music? To awaken people's mind about injustice, to inspire young people like yourself. Are you going to start a foundation? I mean, what's the next level for K-Sun?
Well, I think it's the whole thing, right? It's a complete picture, which for me is that the fact that I respect the place that well-written, well-crafted, well-thought-out songs has within our culture. And I feel like for younger people and people like myself, that is not often seen, you know, like where you have
mm-hmm.
artists who think about what they say, who think about what they write, artists to whom a song is not just a way to sell something or to have fun. I mean, that's okay, but there's more to it. You know, I like that quote by Bob Marley who says a song is like a prayer, and you won't just say anything in a prayer, so you don't just say anything in a song. And I want to, I want to take that as far as I can, in that whatever my body of work will be, I want it to be complete in that sense, so you could get something out of it. In terms of the way the music is crafted, in terms of the way the words are written, in terms of the way it is presented when I play them, you know, it's more than just, you know, throwing it out there like it's some kind of a lifestyle thing. I just want people to get that. And I also, if anybody wants to imitate that, that would be great. I mean, I wish there were more artists that did that so we could all imitate
each
other.
You don't think
there's
any revolutionary artists? I mean, like Meka, she's singing, you know, she's coming out of Nigeria. She's fighting out there. Asha, you know, is doing some stuff.
It's cool. I mean, even, Kanan. Yeah, I mean, it's just beginning, right? And I guess I'm nervous of the fact that those things never, because of how, I guess, how much.
The business
is,
you mean?
Sorry?
Because the business is focused on money making and popularity. And
The commercial stuff is so much and it's pushed so hard that I just feel like, you know, this stuff needs, there's a lot of work to be done to get this stuff out there in a way where a lot of people can just, you know, grab onto it and go with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Let me play Win the Pot. This is from your album Outside the Barcode.
Been through fire, she's been through water. Confusion, I settle in the sons and daughters. I don't know how much longer to go, but I know someday my motherland will be healed. Oh, hold on, oh, hold on, oh, hold on, oh, hold on. Something's gotta change, oh. Heard she made a mark today. Yesterday was a mirage. Forward traveling, people at large. On that old revolution road, your legislators who fake the change. A freedom fight is only in it for glory.
So here you go again. You say you're not always being political, but you're talking about your people being free. I don't think you can get away from it. I mean, but I'm going to play some softer songs. There's some songs I'm going to play so people can get another side of you. But
What
do you think?
Yeah, I'm not. Go ahead.
What do you think the greatest problem of young people in Ghana is today? What is the greatest? Is it education? Is it food? Is it shelter? Is it political representation? What do you think the greatest problem? Where should it begin to change?
Well, you just told me about being careful of what I say. Because I don't live in Ghana now, and I haven't in a while, I can't really say specifically what the problems are for young people. But I can guess, I mean, when I was there, things I found restricting was the fact that you know, it was education. It was the fact that information wasn't readily available. But I think that's changed a lot. And, I mean, I know people now doing amazing things in the arts. And the access to information it's improved. It's so much easier now to get your hands on stuff. And,
We have Twitter. I mean,
yeah.
When I was growing up, I didn't have a cell phone, let me tell you that, okay? I didn't have a computer in my house when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But now, for say my daughter, you know, like she's close to you in age, she's always had a computer that she can remember in our household. That's the crazy part.
Yeah.
She didn't know what a record was, you know. But okay, let's talk about Toronto. What are young people fighting for in Toronto? What's the problems up there?
Up where?
In Toronto. What are you fighting for?
right. I can hear. Sorry. In Toronto. I mean, my experience is mine. So it tends to be really hard when you're not, because I don't want to repeat what's on the news because I don't agree with it, right? In the sense that every time an African Canadian or Black Canadian appears on the TV, not every time, but mostly is in the context of something negative, like there's been a crime committed in this part of town and so on. And I don't buy into that. So I don't know if that is not the problem. If anything, the problem they face is a lack of equal, fair representation in the media. The fact that we don't need people to be afraid of us. I mean, there's only like 10% Black people in this country, and it's still the stereotypes that you find in most places where you have a minority of Black people. They apply to here too. You know, it's just like any other urban American city, I think, you know. So, I mean, those things are problematic because they shape the way we see ourselves as young people, and they shape the way we interact with each other, you know. And it's, I wish
people
that
internalize,
didn't exist, but it
does. I think, people internalize African Americans, Africans, minorities. You constantly seeing those images on the news, in the newspaper, or hearing on the radio, you're like being hypnotized with this false knowledge of yourself. You need to wake up, you know, to the reality that, no, you have the potential, just like everybody else, for greatness. You have the potential to make change in your community. You have the potential not to be a criminal, not to, you know, rob somebody, you know, not to just sit on the stoop. But it's hard if you're being literally hypnotized. I mean, Kaysan, those people, if you're being hypnotized, because every day you turn the radio on, every day you turn the TV on, every day...
Yeah.
You know, you go on the computer. So you're being hypnotized. We got to break that. You know, education is the key. Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I thought you'd think that would have changed by now because, you know, like you said, there's so much information available now.
No. Because it's not available readily. It's not right there in front. It's not. What's available is the trash, is the microwave type of stuff, you know?
Yeah. Precisely.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that.
I want to thank you for coming on the show today. I wish you much success. Please come back on. Everybody check out ksunmusic.com. Get the free Outside the Barcode EP. And also, I'll give away some Lion on the Leash if anybody wants that. You got to follow me on twitter.com/RoyKeys and become a fan on Facebook. Thank you so much, Kaysan, for coming on today.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, I'm going to leave with Wei Wei from Outside the Barcode. All right? You have a wonderful Saturday.
Cool. You too.
Okay. Peace.
Like the robot, rolling over, blowing petrol, you blow my mind. Travel that road, not to city, to and fro, them they rob on the mind. Time and time and again, yeah. Time and time and the way. Time and time and again, yeah. Time and time and again, yeah. Time and time and the way. Time and time and again, yeah. We are wide awake. We are wide awake. We are wide awake. And nobody leaves.